Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I have had a word on my heart for the last few months that I've been praying about how and what God would have in a way of being able to communicate it. How is He going to communicate this? And how would you have me, God, to communicate this? And so as I've been praying about this week, some things kind of took place and several different things over the last 2 weeks that God really opened up just a picture for me of how to start some of what was going on. Some of that came through some podcasts I was listening to. Some of it came through real life circumstances and stories. And I thought, okay, how do we introduce this? Because I know there's no way I can accomplish what I want to accomplish today in one sermon. This is going to have to be two or three. And I think this is going to be a real teaching point in the lives of people. Now, for those of you that know Christian Ministries Church, here's one thing that you know. You know that we teach family here. We teach parenting. Now, not everybody has sat through some parenting that we teach, but I mean, we teach it, and different parts of it come out in sermons and classes and different things that we do here. Hopefully, most of it comes out by example of watching parents. But we also teach husbands and wives how to family, how to be married, how to operate in a marriage that the devil wants to destroy. And God wants you to have a blessing in your marriage. You know, God wants you to have a blessing as parents and with your kids. And so with that, how do you do that? Because the Bible isn't real specific in some areas speaking directly to parents. And here's how parents are to operate in every subject matter. But the Bible's real specific about subject matter for people. And I always have said this, and I'm just going to start this series out by saying that I believe that one of the reasons why in the Ten Commandments God mentioned the importance of honoring your father and mother, honoring mom and dad, why in the world did He put that in with thou shalt not kill? Honor mom and dad is in the same ten of don't kill. These are commandments from God. I get the don't kill thing. But not all mom and dads live in a way that a child should honor everything they do. And so, God, why would you do that? And just a real peace years ago came over me when it came to that subject matter. The reason why children should honor their mom and dad is because if you'll never learn to honor mom and dad, then you're never going to learn to honor God the Father. Well, what do you mean by that? Okay, mom and dad aren't always wrong. Come on, moms and dads. Mom and dads aren't always wrong. In fact, how many would testify today, and you can look around and see the hands after I ask this question. How many would testify the older you get, the more right your mom and dad were? Oh, man. That's hard to admit for a lot of us. My mom right now is basking. But really, the longer you live, the more you realize. Now, some of you might go, well, my mom and dad are perfect. Well, just wait. Because at some point, they will do something that you're in disagreement with. Sometime in their life, they will do something that your feelings said, no, don't listen to them. And you might be 20 years before you realize their heart was right in the decision that they made. Because a heart for a mom and dad is almost always for the good of the child. Almost always. I mean, there are some perverted, messed up people, but almost always, they're for the good of the child. The decision they made was for the good of the child, even though sometimes it wasn't good for the child. But the child had to come to a place in their life, prayerfully younger than older, where they realized that I'm going to honor mom and dad in this decision, even though it goes against what I feel. Now, let's go back to one of the Ten Commandments about honor mom and dad. There are going to be times where God impresses upon the hearts of His people to do something that goes against what you might feel. Really? Yeah. Not everybody feels like getting up on Sunday morning and going to church. So you've got to, a lot of times, conquer your feelings in order to be obedient to God the Father. I don't really want to go pray with them. God's saying they need someone to pray for them. Well, I don't really want to pray out loud for everybody. I'm not in a real comfortable environment here. We're at the hospital. We're at work. You need to go pray for them. I don't know if I want to. See, you got to suppress a feeling and go, I've got to do what God just impressed upon me to do. And it's against my feelings. I don't want to do that. Story after story in the Bible about people that went against their natural feelings to do what God asked them to do. So I believe that's why it's important, mom and dad, to teach your children to honor you. Well, how do I do that? Doesn't that just happen by how I live? Nope. You've got to teach your kids to honor you. Well, how do I do that? By living according to the word and putting them into positions in life to be taught how to live according to the word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I want to just give you the title of what I'm going to be talking about for the next few weeks. Right off the bat, because I do know that there are certain people who are all plugged in at the beginning and about in the middle of what you're teaching, they unplug. And then they're listening for the amen at the end to plug back in. So if I give it to you at the beginning, you're going to know what I'm going to talk about for the next 20 minutes. And if you unplug, that's fine. You're going to get it. I'm going to talk about today a dividing line. A dividing line. The dividing line that we as Christians have to place in our life in certain situations. Now, the question for a Christian oftentimes arises. It arises all the time. If you're a Christian and you're trying to follow the commands, the decrees, the laws of God, then you are all the time having to draw a line in this world. And there's going to be a dividing line, and here's where I'm not going to cross this line. Here is my line. I'm not crossing this line. What is that? Because here's what I find. A lot of people have different lines. And they still call themselves a Christian. Can you hear where this is kind of going? How are we going to get a dividing line? What should I wear? Well, it depends on what you have in your closet. No, it depends on where you draw your line. See, there's a dividing line. What should I do here? And so, two questions that you ask yourself, where do I draw my line on what I should do? Where do I draw my line? Now, if you are still in the home this morning, you're still living at home with mom and dad, here's a word or a thought that might come as a result of that question. Well, here's where I draw my line, wherever my mom and dad tell me I'm supposed to draw my line. Now, how you respond could be different. Well, what do you mean? There are two ways to say the same thing. Where do you draw your line this morning? If your answer is where my mom and dad tell me to draw my line, you can say that two different ways. You can say, where my mom and dad tell me to draw my line. Or you can say, where my mom and dad tell me to draw my line. You said the same thing, but what went on in your head when you answered that question? So the first question, if you live at home, you might say, where my mom and dad tell me. Or if you don't live at home and you're making your own decision, the question is, where do I draw my line? Where do I draw my line on what I should do? And you might say, wherever I feel I should draw my line. You really need to not unplug what I'm going to be talking about. Where do I draw my line is a question we need to answer through this. The second one is, when do I retreat? Because I drew a line. When do I retreat? Because I know there's a line here. See, my friends want to draw a different line than I'm drawing. At work, they want to draw a different line than where I want to draw it. Where do I retreat? Where do I retreat? These are big questions. Young people deal with this all the time. And see, it's oftentimes with parents drawing a line, and then the student, the child, determines for themselves, am I going to be obedient to the line because I want to, or am I going to be obedient to the line because I have to? Here is the problem. In our society, we are in a society that only works here in the United States of America because we are self-governed. The majority of people are governed from within themselves. See, they don't want to do the wrong thing, so they govern themselves. When society gets to a place where it's anything goes, then they have to be governed from without, not within. They have to be governed from an outside source. And you're seeing more and more of that. We have in our schools nationwide a lot of policemen, police officers, someone that is guarding the school. Well, that's just safe. That was not the case when I was in school just a few years ago. Why? Because there was a bigger majority of our population that governed from within. But we're getting to a place with young people that they have to be governed outside of themselves. The only hope for America is the church. Because the only way to govern within is to have a set of morals, and the only place those set of morals come from is the Word of God. Otherwise, it's just someone's feelings. Parents draw lines for young people all the time. Here's the problem. A lot of times, parents draw lines where their children would not. Now, early on, that works. But when they reach the age of adulthood, that 12 to 14 year, well, that's not adulthood. Physical changes start taking place, and they become what would be considered body-wise able to accomplish what anybody that is an adult could accomplish. Let's just say it like that. You know what I'm talking about. At that age, they think that they can make any decision that they need to make. And if we continue to govern their decisions from without and they don't get to a place where they're governed within, we have a problem. See, parents draw lines. Here's some where they draw lines. You're not eating that. You're not watching that show. You're not playing that video game. You're not playing that video game all night. You're not getting in that car. You're not listening to that music. You're not going to their house. You're not dating him. You're not dating her. And parents draw a line. And here's what happens with a child. The only reason I'm not eating that is because you told me I couldn't. The only reason I'm not going to their house is because you won't let me. And there will be a day and time they sneak out the window. See, the only reason they're doing what you said to do and observing the line that you drew is because they have to have a home. Or because they have to have a house and food. And to be able to go shopping. And to have a TV to play the video game on. See, you got one up, mom and dad, and I'm all good with that. I like the one-ups on kids. Parents need the one-up. There is always an option of you not living here. But when you walk out of the house, you are naked because I own all your clothes. That's a one-up. Most kids won't walk out naked. And you can force a child to stay in a home until they get to a point where they're not staying there anymore. And when they leave, your one-up is no longer effective. And if you governed all the time as a parent from without, and you were never in, then here's what happens. They leave and those lines are no longer established. And that's why we have 18-year-old kids leaving church that was in church their whole life, because mom and dad drew a line that they were going to go to church. And when they got 18 and finally left the house, church was no longer in their mind. Their lifestyle no longer resembled what mom and dad tried to make them. But a parent who put them in place and into a position where they were able to hear from and receive from God, and they established in their own heart a willingness and want to do the lines that mom and dad drew, those kids left and established the same lines in their own life. The problem is that's getting farther and farther and further away from reality. We've got young people leaving the church at an all-time high. I will never quit preaching this message, and I'll put it any way I can, not as a scare tactic, but as a wake-up call for the church. You're not eating that. You're not watching that show. You're not playing that video game. Well, Pastor, what do I do? Just let them do it? You're not hearing me. No, that's not what you do. So we jump all the way to the other ditch and just let them do whatever they want. There's no need to sneak out. Here's the keys. Come home, hopefully, in the next week or two. Stay wherever you want. Here's a few $100. Have fun. Well, no, we don't go to that ditch. Well, where do we go? I mean, another line, you're going to eat everything on your plate. People in other countries are starving. I heard that. It worked well for me. You're going with us, whether you want to or not. You're going to help with chores around here, because if you're going to live here, you're going to help with chores. You're going to clean your room. You're going to help watch your younger brother or your sister. You're going to go to church. You're going to listen to what they say. You're going to sit with us at church. All right, all of those can be good. Why don't you sit with us at church? I want to sit with my friends. Okay, I get that. But moms and dads aren't sitting with their friends right now. They're sitting with their family. What's the answer here? Do you see in all of life there are lines? All of life there are lines. And in the church, people are drawing different ones. And the devil knows that. And the enemy is finding everything that he can to get you judging someone else. If you didn't hear what Adam preached on the last two Wednesday nights, you need to listen to that. But the devil, the enemy, he's finding everything he can to make you look at someone else and see how they're doing it wrong to justify why you're doing it. I may just get the introduction to this today. Phones for young people. How do they know what phone they want? By their environment. By what mom and dad has. Or by what a friend has. Or by what they've seen on media. Or what they've seen. How do they know? It's all based on their culture. People only know what culture teaches them. Boy, it's going to be really good. What car do you want? A Tesla. Why? Because I don't have to do anything and I like that life. Do you know how much those are? It doesn't matter. See, we get this thinking going in our minds and we just lose all rationale. Friends, what friends do you want? The ones I want and they make me feel good. What school you want to go to? Whichever one I like the best, or as long as it's not the one I was in. Or sports. What sports do you want to play? Depends on what sports I like and what culture makes available. I have shared this 100 times. Well, you guys don't have football. You're right. And there's some other local schools in the area don't have football. Well, that's why we're not going to live in any of those areas. Well, why don't you live somewhere that has rugby? I tried to get my parents when I was in high school to move us to Florida. Because I was a really good water skier. And no school in this whole area had water skiing. And they didn't care about me. We stayed right here. All I had was music. They didn't care. To sit here and think that you are denying your child of something in sports is a lie. Are you kidding me? I know I'm on shaky ground right here. Y'all are going, oh, Pastor, you're getting it. All I'm saying is kids are only made available to them culturally what's in that culture. See, you're not going to be a professional water skier on a water ski team at your local school because there's not one. Nor is there rugby, and nor is there hockey. I'm sorry. It's horrible. Move. Or better yet, realize that you only have available what your culture offers. And that's fine. Well, what about this? What about that? I get all of that, and I know that your child may be the next Patrick. No, I won't even go there. It's not, to me, normal how every parent draws a line. Why? Because it's not normal based on what I perceive based on my culture. Now, let me just say, all of you are wrong if you don't do it exactly like I do. Really? Yeah. Because I have a way that I think is right. And you do too. And everybody's wrong except for you. And in the Christian society, if we're not careful, we start putting everybody else down based on the line that they drew. I can't, can you believe so-and-so don't let their kids have a cell phone? Can you believe that they wouldn't let them play sports? Can you believe that they wouldn't let them do this? Can you believe that they? And so we justify where we are based on how we perceive everybody else is wrong. That makes us right. Boy, I'm telling you, our culture and where we're at has done a lot of things that give the devil a foothold in the lives of believers to remove them from the Christian faith because everybody in the Christian faith thinks everybody else is wrong. You got to stay plugged in here because if you take one line out of this, you're going to miss my whole point. My point is we've got to get to a place where we don't base what we're doing, how we're doing it, on what everybody else is doing, right or wrong. We base it on what God says. That's what we've got to do. And so me as a pastor, I want to continue to make sure that I'm not stepping out trying to judge everybody else for what they're doing. What I've got to do is be concerned about is what I'm doing lining up with what God says. The question is, how are these kids going to draw their own lines if mom and dad are continually putting down everybody else's? See, we're repeating the same thing in Christianity. All we're doing is throwing everybody else under the bus because of the way they're doing it. And then we get this attitude that we're the only ones right. And so therefore, I could care less about going to church. But we do. We want to change everything to do what we want. It's got to be my way. Doing it your way doesn't receive the blessing. Doing it God's way receives the blessing. I'm going to get into way more of this dividing line and where you draw your line, but today let's look at the line Jesus set up and how he did it. We're just going to set this as our foundation for this whole series. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. That's where you want to start right there. Then, and you put your name. Then Mike. Then Jason, then Rob, then you want to put your name, then your name, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Because if we're going to model after Jesus, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. What's it say? He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He was tempted for 40 days by the enemy. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. You know, I have a hard time identifying with 40 days. I mean, I have a hard time identifying with 2 or 3 hours. 40 days. He became very hungry. And while he was really hungry, which to me equates to about noon after I've had breakfast today. Then when he was very hungry, see, the devil said to him after he was hungry, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, nope. The scriptures say people don't live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up, revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them." The devil said, "Because they are mine to give to anyone I please." Can I just stop right now and take just a quick rabbit trail here? If you're not going down and being a part of the class that Millie is teaching on authority of the believer, you probably ought to hear some that she's talking about, because this verse is real clear here. The devil had authority. Well, how do you know that he had authority? Because Adam gave it to him. Well, Adam gave it to the devil? Yes. This is just a little excerpt from Millie's class. Yes, he gave it to, Adam gave it to the devil. Adam had it. Read Genesis. Adam had authority. And then he gave it to the devil, and the devil had it. You know, if this was a temptation of the devil, he said, "Well, it's the devil didn't really have it." Let me just tell you, I was sharing this with someone the other day. The devil obviously had authority, or it wouldn't have been a temptation. He said, "It's mine to give." Well, the devil's the father of lies. I get that. But Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, so that had to be a temptation that was thrown out. Well, how do you know it was a temptation? Because the devil had it to give. It's the same thing, and I use this story all the time. I could just throw any name out, and I could say, okay, if, and your name, you came up and said, "If you'll lick the bottom of my shoe, I'll give you $1 million. Is that a temptation to me? No. Why? Because you ain't got $1 million to give me. Really? I do too. You wouldn't make that offer, because $1 million would be a lot of money for you to take and give to me for licking the bottom of your shoe. That's not a temptation, because you wouldn't do it. In my mind, I don't believe that. If Bill Gates came up and said, "Hey, Ashley," like he would know me, and said, "If you take your shoe off and just lick the bottom of it, or better yet, let me take my shoe off and lick the bottom of it," I'd say, "I'll do either one." Why? Because there would be a temptation for me to do that, because I know he's got $1 million and it wouldn't be a big deal for him to give it to me. See, that would be a temptation, because I knew he had it to give. The only way this was a temptation for Jesus is because Jesus knew that the devil had it to give. "I'll give you the glory of the kingdoms and authority over them, because they're mine to give to anyone I please." And then he added a little disclaimer here, verse 7. "I will give it all to you if you will worship me." Wow. Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." That meant that real quick he said, "I'm not worshiping you, devil." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he'll order his angels to protect and guard you. And they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." And Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." And verse 13 says, "When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." Now, this encounter between Jesus and the devil is a real personal example from Jesus on how to win over the devil's attacks. Church, you need to know the devil's going to attack. Well, he just did. He's not doing it now. He will again until the next opportunity comes. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. And this is Jesus giving us a personal example on how to have a dividing line. There's got to be a dividing line. This is my dividing line, devil. I want to remind you that when you are reading this, Jesus took on the form of man. And when the devil is tempting Jesus here, he's not tempting Jesus as God. He's tempting Jesus as a man. as a man who in this temptation is winning back for us the authority that God has given man, that man gave to Satan, and Satan's trying to use it to win us to him. And we've got to know this, because if we don't set up some dividing lines and know as God's people, one of the biggest ways that we fail is not recognizing that the devil is going to attack. And he's going to tempt you to not have a line. And I want to remind you, it's important to know that Jesus conquered this as a man. Therefore, through Christ, you, my friend, can conquer this as a man. You can. Jesus set it up. Every day we are tempted. There's three things you're tempted here: body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, food, or what you're doing with your physical desires. There's a temptation every day. There's a temptation for something in the physical every day. Come on, there's something physically tempting you every day. A temptation for the couch and a bag of potato chips. There's a temptation every day for your body. There's a temptation physically every day. Young people, the computer, there's a physical temptation that draws you to that computer if you're not careful. See, you got to have some dividing lines. There's got to be some places, because you're going to be tempted in your body. You're going to be tempted in your mind and your soul. You're going to be tempted. The devil wants your affection on something else other than God. He don't want you paying attention to what God's saying. He don't want you paying attention to him. And he's going to tempt you in your spirit. Okay, God, come on. If you're God, you're going to do this for me. And then when he doesn't, then people are turning their back from him right and left, because we are expecting something from God that we aren't to test him in. Now, there's a lesson here we got to see. The devil is attacking us all the time. He's after your joy. He's after your joy. He's after your joy. He don't want you to have peace. He's after your joy. He don't want you to be a representative of God. He's after you. And the point we have to get out of this is Jesus knew in his mind the way to resist the temptation of the devil was to know who he was in God. Well, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He was the Son of Man when he resisted this. That's important to know. He knew who he was, and he knew what his call was and he was to accomplish. That's why it's so important here at Christian Ministries Church for us to have vision, to have direction, not just corporately, but individually. Where are you going? What are you doing? Where are you going to be in 3 years? Where is your child going to be at 18? Come on, there needs to be some real dividing lines that we set up, or you don't have a clue where your child's going to be at 18. So we were on a route in our home that Michelle and I didn't just feel. We were asking, we were seeking, we were wanting God to give us direction so that when our kids turn 18 and they were out of our home, they were still going to serve God. Not because we made them, but because it was in their heart. And they had established a dividing line, not just mom and dad said, this is what you're going to do. Yeah. We got to see the lesson in all of this. God knew what he was to do. Do you know what you're here to do? Well, I just don't know. That's a lie from the devil. What do you mean? He just haven't revealed to me. Ask. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will. Come on, as you start quoting scripture, you need to know what you're going to do. Well, I just don't know. I have changed my major 17 times. All right, then let's stick with number 17 and let's go somewhere with this. But I'm not saying you can't ever change your mind, but you always have to have direction. You got to know that you're going somewhere. You need to know what you're here to do. So, because Jesus knew that, he knew he had nothing that he had to prove to the enemy. Wow. I didn't have to prove anything to Satan. Well, he can tempt me all day long and I don't have to prove anything to him. When you know who you are, there are certain things that don't move you out of your position. When you know that you're a guard, you don't try to play center. See, when you know what you're called to do, then you do what you're called to do, and you're not moved out of position. And the devil uses this all the time, and he's moving God's people out of position. And I'm sick and tired of it. God created you to do what you're to do. And when you know that, the devil can't get you. He gets us when you are motivated to prove yourself to other people. And young people all the time are trying to prove themselves to someone else. Let me just prove to you. Let me just prove to you who I am. Let me just prove to you. And they do this 100 ways. Another way he gets you is when you are motivated to prove to yourself you're somebody. I'm just trying to prove to myself I am who I say I am. That ain't ever going to work. I am who he says I am. This generation is suffering from insecurities like no generation before us. They're dealing with low self-esteem. They're dealing with insecurities. You look at interviews with movie stars and they're talking about their number one problem is just insecurity. What? A movie star and they're insecure? You betcha they are. They are. They're the most insecure. The most insecure generation. You see them interviewed, and they're beautiful, and from a world standard, they have everything. I mean, and their number one issue is anxiety or fear of failure, and they have a very low self-esteem. Athletes, same thing. World-class athletes trying to be somebody, trying to be somebody. Insecurity, church, is a deception that this generation is buying into. And they're buying into it at an all-time high. Who decides the perfect weight? Come on. Who decides the perfect weight, culture? I'll just tell you, my first trip down south to Nicaragua, Honduras, we were in Nicaragua, and I was kind of looked at like I was somebody. And you know why? Because I was the only one that could do this. They saw that. So who determines the perfect weight? Society. And down south, somebody who's a little bigger obviously has the money to eat. I'm talking way down south. But in our culture, well, what about the, you can sit here and talk about whatabouts all day long, but culture defines what's the right weight. Culture defines that. Who decides if you're fat or skinny? Who decides what hairstyle is in? I mean, if it's up to me, we're going back to the 80s. Aquanet. Insecurity is a deception that we're buying into. Are you hearing this today? See, when a person is insecure, they are primed for temptation. Let me say that again. When a person is insecure, they're a prime target for temptation. When a person's insecure, they're an easy target to do something that they would have never done if they were secure in Christ. But insecurity will cause people to do something that they wouldn't have done if their security was in Christ. To say something they should have never said or act in a way they should have never acted. Jesus stood strong against temptation because Jesus was fully aware of who he was and who was trying to move his line. See, the devil was trying to move the dividing line that Jesus stood on. He was trying to move it, but Jesus was not movable. Why? Because he knew who he was. And he started developing that at a very early age. As you read about the life of Jesus, before he was fulfilling his earthly ministry, he was studying, getting a knowing of who he was. Jesus understood that. A child of God on an assignment, he was here for a purpose. We have young people who are moving their line all the time because they think their parents just don't know any better. My mom and dad just don't know any better. And their parents drew a line, but their children didn't draw the same line. And so they're just waiting until they don't have to live by their parents' line. Parents, wake up! This is an important thing to hear today. The only reason why Jesus drew the line he drew is because he knew who he was in God and for the purpose of the kingdom. He knew that. You want your child's line to be godly, then let them experience God. Put them in the presence of God. Teach them godly lines. The reason young people are not drawing lines where they should is they don't see their purpose in themselves like God sees them. I love that our youth pastors and that our youth are continually being taught, you need to have your own relationship with God. You need to be in a position where God can speak to you. There's this temptation that's going on for young people, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And why is it? Because society is doing everything they can to keep Christians from drawing lines in the right spot. Society, let's just call it who it is, it's Satan, who's walking in authority here in this world. And we need some Christians to stand up and say, Jesus won that back for us. And we're going to walk in the authority of the believer. You know, there's a drinking game going on right now. I don't know if you have heard of drinking games. Drinking games are where you drink alcohol to get drunk. That's the reason for a drinking game. You don't have a drinking game with water. You only have it with alcohol. Let's have a drinking game after church. We're having water. We do that at camp. We have drinking games at camp for water because we need to make sure the kids are hydrated. But we quit calling them drinking games here a few years ago because I don't like that drinking games is okay. Because the world has drinking games and they use them with alcohol. Let me tell you the newest one. You're going to tell everybody this? Yes. You need to know what this is so you can say no. Hopefully, you don't just say, I'm going to go to the party and not drink. You say, I'm not going to the party. But we have a lot of people who are exposed to environments where there is drinking, and there is a drinking game the younger generation is playing now, and they're taking a funnel and they're bypassing their swallower. I don't know if that's what they call it. That's what I call it. Their thing that lets you swallow, and they're bypassing it. And they're taking a funnel with his hose, and they're pouring alcohol directly down their throat, going right into their stomach. Well, how do you win that game? The last person standing is who wins that game. Now, we're sitting here going, because I hit in an area that everybody will draw their line and say, no, that's not right. Yet we're going to have alcohol in our refrigerators at home. See, everybody's drawing lines in different places. All I'm saying is, what are you telling your kids that the line needs to be? Don't play a drinking game, but don't worry about going to the party and having two. Maybe three if you can handle it. Maybe four if you're having a good night. So where's the line? I don't know. I'm just throwing out some things that you might want to have to say, okay, God, where would you have? The dividing line is where? Well, does there even need to be one? When you start to think, I don't know if I want to play this game or not. The next thought needs to be, why am I here? And I'm not talking about where you're at right there at that time. I'm talking about here on planet Earth. Why are you here? Because I pray that God's people would get to a place where they could say, I'm here to do something. I'm here to do something. And you can define what that something is. But you can for sure know that that's not it. Putting a funnel down my throat past my swallower, that's not it. That's not what I'm here for. You need to think I'm here to do something, but this isn't it. Jesus knew that he was to be here to do something, but jumping off a building wasn't it. Come on, you can just read this right in. Jumping off a building, what? He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing. All that time he became very hungry because he was aware of his physical needs. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become a loaf of bread. I doubt that anyone here is in a physical need to actually eat. I just don't think that we are. But I do ask you, what is it today that you've become aware of that you're in need of? Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's some clothes. Maybe it's some shoes. Maybe it's a new gun. I had to throw that one in there, so I had one. If you don't know who you are, then you got to prove to yourself, and you got to prove yourself to others by whether or not you're satisfying the physical. See, I'm somebody, so I'm going to get some bread. I'm somebody, so I'm going to get a house. I'm somebody, so I'm going to get this car. And you got to prove yourself by what kind of home you live in, what cars you drive. Come on, it wasn't about Jesus getting a bite to eat. It was about who he was in Christ. I don't need the devil tempting me in areas to prove that I'm somebody, because God already proved that I was. See, that's what I want us to see. Possessions will never make you who you are to people or to yourself. Never. I've never been to a funeral where they talked about the person's life and how they were somebody because all they had. I've never been to one. They were somebody because of how they lived their life for the Lord. That's how you prove you're somebody. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I've got 3 points, and I got to one this morning. And the first one is, material possessions don't make you somebody. Material possessions don't make you somebody. There's two other temptations that Jesus was faced with, but right now, I believe that we need to all just stand right where we are and just bow your heads for just a moment. As I was speaking, I know the Holy Spirit just revealed some things to people's lives through what Jesus set the example of for us to do. I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to call you to the front, but would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Insecurity, low self-esteem, depression is allowing God's people to do things they would have never done before, trying to prove they're somebody, when your proof needs to be that Jesus died on a cross and gave you a new life and new direction. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you call out. I'm not going to have you come forward. But right now, will you just say, God, is there areas that I'm trying to satisfy who I am based on the physical? Parents, maybe you today heard that I'm setting up dividing lines and I'm producing rebellion or a different line. And it's not working, and I got to figure out what to do. God says to ask. He's not hiding his wisdom from you. He just wants to give it to you. You need to ask and put yourself in position to receive it. Young people, mom and dad's making you do things. They're drawing lines that you don't want to draw. Can you look at mom and dad and see they love you so much that they're trying to help you establish some lines that will impact your life in a positive, and praying that you don't have to wait to 40 to raise your hand and say, you know what, I'm starting to see my mom and dad were pretty smart. There's no reason to wait that long. If both of you will seek God, moms and dads and young people, you'll watch how those lines become strength for your family.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.